Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 23rd of February, recording at 8:47 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. First, the highlights. Asian stock markets are pretty steady, generally. Japan up 2% in here, but some good gains in a number of markets. Japan and South Korea have steadied up, so they've got obvious support levels. You can see those on the charts, which would need to be taken out to indicate a deeper correction overall. I think that's a fairly high risk, although I wouldn't say that it's beyond the realm of possibilities that the broader indices in Japan, at least that's the Nikkei and the topics, would possibly test their highs. But I think it's, or nudge a little above them, but some of those leaders, such as the second section index, the TSE2, I don't think there's much likelihood that it will do that this side of a more lengthy and possibly deeper correction overall. But we'll see. European markets followed on with some steady performances, modestly steady performances, after the Asian experience, but then all turned to the minus column except for Sweden, of the ones that I'm looking at here on the Bloomberg list, which closed up with a teensy gain, less than a point. And Wall Street, it's interesting in here today, Wall Street started down, or did it start unchanged? I can't remember, but it moved down, then it regained almost the entire loss, but has been moving down here once again. Nothing heavy, but currently down 67 on the Dow. I describe this market as, well, let me see if there are any more highlights in here. The big highlight is that the yen rallied here on a comment from the Bank of Japan that they were moving away from these sort of zero interest rate policy. I would have thought that was pretty widely discounted, that we would get a statement along those lines, but it did cause the yen to rally quite sharply. It'll be interesting to see if it gets follow through in here tomorrow. Of course, a lot of people have been writing about that yen carry trade recently and forecasting a debacle. May happen one day, and next few months I would be surprised if we didn't see some shakeout of the carry trade due to the less I think due to the rising Japanese interest rates, which are not in their own or of their own would not deter I think the carry trade all that much. It would make it fractionally more expensive than the initial interest rate hikes, at any rate. But it's just the risk to a number of markets generally, given all the gains that we've seen. So step back here a minute. I've described the stock market cycle as being in the were causing me to feel on one day that things look reasonably okay, and the next day looking a bit bearish. And certainly what we saw yesterday was a day for the bulls, and today, as far as Europe and the US is concerned, is a day more for the bears. What this means is we get lots of indecision in here. I have been receiving some bearish reports here recently, and I posted one. Have a look at that Bedlam report that I led off with in comment of the day. It was an interesting, it was a well-written piece. I think he's over, by Russell Napier, I think he overreacted in terms of commodities. But I've been saying myself that a number of these high-flying industrial metals in particular, I think I listed aluminium, zinc, lead, in that copper, in that group, could easily see medium-term corrections lasting for a number of months, maybe even a couple of years. So after all, we saw the nickel market experience a correction which is in excess of 2 years, although I suspect that it's not far off actually completing that corrective phase and extending the overall bull market. But there are certainly reasons for assuming that the liquidity may contract somewhat. Russell Napier was interesting on this subject. You've seen other reports to this effect. I've mentioned the fact that just a more cautious attitude among investors would certainly lower the volatility of money and have the effect of, in terms of market action, of a tightening. So, again, as I said in comment of the day today, there are times when it's not a bad idea to be bold. I think my own portfolio activity has been pretty bold over the last 3 years, and particularly in terms of trading. And I think, well, I'm feeling cautious, as you know. Now, some people will say, well, David's had some wobbles here in the past, become nervous, and we've just seen these 3 or 4 week corrections, and that's pretty much it. But I think this is, and yes, you'd be right. But I think this is a bit more risky this time, with the main danger period being in the second and third quarters. We will see. But a couple of those factors that I had been worrying about as causing headwinds for global stock markets, oil prices when they were rallying up close to the Katrina highs not all that long ago. But they've fallen back. But oil's not all that cheap in here, is it? Trading at $60.70. But nevertheless, oil has not emerged as or re-emerged as a major headwind here for global stock markets, and neither have government bonds, which would have to where yields would have to rise from current levels, completing base formations on the yield charts. Although the JGB's situation is quite interesting, and you want to see what Russell Napier is saying on that. You know my view. I've talked about shorting opportunities with the best ones in terms of government bonds generally, but with the best short selling opportunities occurring as the top formation in futures prices was completed. And of course, that would coincide with the base formation completion for yields. And JGBs often lead on the big moves. And I think. I mean, I'd be able to hold off shorting before too long. And also the euro yen contract, that's not the currency. That's the shorter term interest rate future. Getting back to the stock markets, I look through the list of all the global indices, and there's no doubt that there are far more that are still moving up or are steady. And these would include certainly all of the European stock market indices. The US indices haven't been putting on a bad performance recently, although they're primarily within ranges. And then some of my absolute favorites, India, and nudged to another new high in here today, have been very, very steady. But if we go back to December, there were very few of the global stock market indices that were not in new high ground. There were a few, but they were mostly minor. And now we're getting more of them that are sort of peeling away. Again, these are among the lesser markets overall. Arguably, Japan is in a medium-term correction. It's certainly in a bigger correction than we had seen previously. And one could say the same for, well, I have said the same for South Korea, although I mentioned earlier in this broadcast that both had steadied up here recently. But what I'm trying to say is that the evidence of a medium-term correction is tentative in here at best. But it's probably more significant to see a change, or rather, or put it this way, rather than counting all the markets that are still hitting new highs, saying, well, there are more of those, that as those gradually fade, those uptrends, that is the change in consistency from the very strong reconfirming type of activity that we were getting towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year. I don't see any reason to panic, but I'm not interested in increasing risk overall. Now, moving on, I mentioned that I wouldn't be able to resist shorting some of those Japanese interest rate futures. So I'll jump right on to the currencies in here. Downward dynamic here by the dollar against the Japanese yen. Strong yen generally overall. We will get periodic shakeouts in this carry trade, but the thing that I think is most likely to disrupt the carry trade is not so much a big yen rally. That's not impossible. And certainly, as people unwound the yen carry trade, that would firm the yen, strengthen the yen. But in the chicken and egg relationship, I really think that it's deterioration in other markets that would cause a reduction in the carry trade that would then feed through to the firmer Japanese yen. I don't think it's the other way around. The other way around, of course, would be the yen strengthening, and then that move feeding through to the various different markets. May seem a moot point, but I trust it's not. I'm a nervous bull here of the gold and silver complex. Bit of a disappointing day in here today. Nothing horrific on the charts, but the dollar weakened, then recovered some of those declines, although not that much against the yen. But again, nervous conditions here in markets. And when I get that sort of choppy activity, I certainly turn nervous as well. So I will probably continue to resist the short-term temptation to add to my very small silver position and relative to what I have often carried, very small, and my pretty small position in gold, although it's bigger than the silver position. I probably will hold off adding to those, and I might even pull them out. I don't think I need to step in and take a small loss in here just at this stage. But I kind of think these are all going to be off the boil here for a while. So I'm scratching my head and looking around for a new trend. There's always something that is pretty good, and I wonder if it might not be the JGBs and the euro yen shorter term interest rate contract. But this is thinking out loud that I'll continue to do here, just looking for another big trend. I certainly don't think that the secular theme for emerging markets, a secular theme for resources, I don't think that's over for all the reasons I've detailed so many times in the past. But it could well be over for the medium term. That's my point. Okay, what else to mention? Natural gas. I was hugely disappointed by the complete unwinding yesterday of Tuesday's rally, but and then that caused a new low in here today, and then natural gas bounced back quite well, closed up on the day, not massively, but I'm still hopeful that maybe we're in to a bottoming phase down here. Certainly, natural gas is nestled into the upper reaches of its large base formation, but the risk may be an opportunity cost, and then it just messes around down here. But nevertheless, as we get the contract rollover occurring, and that process is beginning now, is now currently underway as March approaches expiry, I would then look for a crowding of stops on positions. There'll be far more people rolling forward short positions because this has been in a downtrend than suckers sitting around like myself with long positions. But that crowding of the stops could well lead to another explosive short covering rally. We've certainly seen plenty of those, in which case I would lift one of the units I had into that rally, the one that I purchased just the other day. And I've said that I would use a sort of a baby steps trading operation here if it looked like it was going to mess around in a range. The bearish factor is that there's plenty of the stuff around right now. The bullish factor, of course, in addition to the base formation, secular trend for industrial resources, for all energy. Bullish factor here. Gosh, it's going right out of my mind. Come on, David. Nestling down into the overall base formation. That's certainly one. Oh, I'm embarrassing myself. I can't remember what the other bullish factor would be. So I'd better shut up and move on to something else. And I think that's pretty much it. A little bit softer conditions today in the industrial metals, influenced by the generally soft performance today by gold. Currently down, gold's currently down about $6 in here at 549.25. But bottom line, my big message in here right now, I remembered it, natural gas, the bullish factor, cold weather in the United States, particularly in the important northeastern part there. Further embarrassment avoided. But overall, my message is that this is not a time to be aggressive in markets. This is a time to be a bit more cautious. That's it, folks. All the best.